Well, welcome to Crossroads. How is everybody today? Good. Hey, my name is Brian Tome. I'm what's known as a senior pastor around here. It's great to have your Crossroads, whether you're, whether you're streaming with us, you're in any of our sites in Ohio and Kentucky, it's really, really good to have you here. I don't know what you want. What? You're supposed to be a fearful horse that hates people. That's what we need. We want to see my buddy Todd Pierce get bucked. I want to see him thrown out of this ring tonight, but you seem nice. Actually, you never know. You never know. So the story behind what we're doing here today is this. I had Todd on a podcast, my podcast, Aggressive Life. I'll get up here so you guys can have a better chance of seeing me. Stay there. Oh. All right. So I had Todd on my podcast a few years ago, and we hit it off, never met him. And then he said, hey, I got this hunting trip going, hunting elk. You want to come? I said, yeah, I'll come. And it was a really good trip, and he told me what he did on this trip. I had no idea. He said, yeah, I just have this unique spiritual connection to horses, and I've always had it, and I have this uncanny ability to understand what's going on with a horse, and I could take a horse. He's basically a horse whisperer. He doesn't like being called a horse whisperer, but he is. And so I said, really? I'd love to have you do that at Crossroads. He said, well, you can't do that because no insurance company ever approves of that. And we came back and told our insurance company we were doing this, whether they want to insure us or not. And here we are several years later. Now, here's the thing. If you're new to Crossroads, or if you've been around Crossroads a while, you know, we're a large church, and we got a lot of bells and whistles, and you've got to be somewhat planned out when you have a lot of people and a lot of things happening. So we're pretty okay with plan-wise. But that also means that people don't believe us when we tell the truth here. And that is, we have no idea what's going to happen tonight. We've had horses that have been fire-breathing horses running around, snorting, kicking up stuff. Thought, oh, this is going to be really good. I'm thinking this is good. Todd's thinking this is going to be bad. I'm thinking this is going to be good. And then you get in the ring, and it's docile. You have ones like this. It looks like, oh, this is going to be easy. But as soon as he tries putting a saddle on them, they freak out. All the horses we have, this one included, has never been ridden by a human being. It's never had a saddle put on its back. Someone being on top of a horse, putting a saddle on, that's predatory behavior. It's a very, very, not humble, what's the right word, vulnerable thing for a horse to have something on its back when it hasn't had it before, because that's how wolves and stuff attack them. So Todd, he doesn't have anything planned, doesn't have prepared. He goes in and he reads the horse, and he's going to give us some spiritual learnings. And every time, I've seen this, gosh, so many times, every time I learn something and something really cool happens. We'll see if that happens today. If you want to give at any point, you can do that. crossroads.net/give. If you want to support what's going on here, support tonight, you can do that at crossroads.net/give. We pass no plates here. That's it if you want to give. All right, and I think that's about it. Let's welcome up my friend and horse whisperer, Todd Pierce. I know you hate the horse whisperer thing. That's why I like saying it.
Yeah, I know. I love our relationship this way.
Yeah, it's good. And some things to also know, all of us love horses. I don't know a single person who doesn't love horses, even if you haven't been around them. Understand this. It's louder in our auditoriums because the speakers are faced outward. It's actually pretty quiet up here. And these horses go through much more intense things in the wild. Lightning, all that stuff. This horse is going to show some skittish behavior because he's under somebody's tutelage, but the horse is fine. We promise you. In fact, you'll see at the end of this, the horse is going to be better off as a result of this, and I'm hoping that all of us are spiritually better off as a result of this as well. You were on the Pro Rider Tour. You were a bareback. Yeah, I got it wrong.
Atta boy.
Bareback.
Rider.
Bareback rider. So how is that different or similar to what you're going to be doing with this? Is this a he or she?
This is a he.
Okay.
A small he, kind of like me, a mini me. So I look bigger on TV. This is how he's not that big. I'm actually this small. It's nothing the same. When I was riding bareback horses, they were horses that were bred to buck, and that was their job. And I think a majority of them loved their job, and because it's just like competition for them too. A lot of times they win, and
so they like it. Because they're bred for that, and they're like, okay, game on.
Yeah, just like any sport, people are abused, animals are abused. There's that can be with any of it. But I'm an absolute animal lover and have been my whole life, and so I never would be a part of that aspect of it. But it's these horses are genetically. You find horses that want to buck, and you breed them with horses that want to buck, and their babies want to buck, and it makes it where everybody has fun because cowboys want them to buck, and they like to buck, and so it's actually fun for them as well as us. This one,
Are you gonna buck?
It's so fun because he's never been bucked off, and so.
But I like watching.
Yeah, and it looks easy because if I went in here anxious and fearful, I would get a completely different response from the horse. But there's already an atmosphere here set, and I don't know if you know this, but there's so much prayer that goes into this house that when you walk in here that it's just a safe place. And that's why I think we get to see the miracles we do, and whatever reactions he gives us is going to be his decisions.
Well, I'll let you to it unless there's anything else from me.
No.
Let's go, cowboy.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey. Let's pray, too.
Do you want a hug?
No, I don't want a hug. So, God, I pray that you would speak to each of us wherever we are in our relationship with you, wherever we are with the pains in our life, wherever we are with the successes in our life. I trust that you've got something to teach us through Todd and this horse, and we give our entire time to you. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll go one step further. He's the dad of the house, but he gives me permission up here. So much has gone into this, if you can imagine. Well, I'm not sure what all goes into it. I show up, and it looks like it was a piece of cake. I just got here, and there's a horse here, and there's a pen here. But so much goes in up. Or into this, that I think it would be a shame if any of us left here the same way we came in, including this guy. And so with that prayer that Brian just said, I think sometimes that's just something you sit there and someone prays and then we just go on with things. But there's a partnership that you're being invited into. So I'll just have you raise your hand. If you raise your hand, if you're actually going to give Holy Spirit full access to you. The people next to you are seeing that you're raising your hand. So if you're giving Holy Spirit access to you, you asked for it. So that is so good because that's what we want, is we want to have an encounter with God and not just get more entertainment and more information. We need something that's actually going to heal us. So when I was a boy, I wasn't raised around horses. I would just had a horse. And I wasn't raised with other men that were riding horses. So everything I learned about horses, I learned with my little horse named Sugar. And she was probably about this size. And her and I, it's a pretty tender point for me because it's why I love animals the way I did, is because they were safe and people weren't. And I could trust them. And I still do. People are scary. We're not as honest as horses are. And so even though they can be dangerous, the beauty of them is that, and what I'm feeling really in this moment with him, he's a little bit wide-eyed right now because he's just realizing that everybody's staring at him. But when I was a kid, this was where I found myself. And so the things that I get to do with horses now are not something that I just came up with as an idea. It's really the things that Jesus used to form me. And because you can see that he's kind and he's gentle and he wants to be around people, he might have some delusion about his part in all of this. Because he's been treated, I think, kindly enough that He's maybe like a dog, and he'd probably go in the house with you, which Which would be fine if you want just another pet. But I think why Jesus chose the men that he chose and he partnered with the women that were partnering with him is because they had already realized how to survive in a culture. And they had figured out how to be obedient human beings. And they were following the rules, and they were Jewish people that had an encounter with a guy that was a rabbi. And they found out that what they were doing isn't good enough. This yawning, you guys, I just wish I could explain it. I really do. This isn't normal horse behavior, even for something as gentle as him. But they met this rabbi, this teacher, and he started teaching them about a kingdom. And it took him a long time to get it. And I'm needing him to move because he's going to have to do something different than he's ever done before. Because I don't want him to spend his life doing this anymore. He was built for something so much more. And if I needed a pet, I'd find a dog. But a horse? Hey. Wow. Sorry, Brian. We're just going to take a nap. But Jesus invited these men into this encounter with him, and he spent days walking with them and teaching them and demonstrating things to them. And eventually he started doing miracles. Like crazy stuff. Healing people, raising people from the dead, casting out demons, telling the wind and the clouds and the waves what to do and where to go. He had authority over everything. And these guys are getting to hang out with him. Talk about feeling like you're hanging out with a superstar. And everywhere he went, people were following him because they knew that he could do these special powers and demonstrate things that would make their life better. And the disciples were really excited about it. Because they were following the guy that was in charge of everything. Everything on heaven and on earth were under his authority. He was the king of the universe and they knew it. But they thought that that was going to give them special permission to go through this life without any troubles. And that it was going to make it to where they're going to be able to be royalty themselves. But the royalty they were looking for and the attention they were looking for, it ends up that wasn't exactly what Jesus was preparing for them. And so today I'm hoping that your experience with all of this, and I just want to invite you into it because you invited Holy Spirit to teach you. And some of this stuff might go right over your head, and so if you're not understanding what I'm saying, it might be because I'm a bad communicator, but it might be that your spiritual eyes are still closed. And it takes a decision on your part to be humble enough to say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Help me see what I need to see in this. Because I've gone this far in my life and I can't stay the way that I am.
Come fly. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, your presence.
We live in a nation where we've got a privilege to where it was like our forefathers, they gave us some rights, what's said to be unalienable rights, that every one of us have this thing that's called life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And this horse would be just a beautiful picture of something that is, has pursued happiness, has found a level of contentment, and living in the land of the free, well provided for. Don't tell him, but he's not the finest looking horse in the world. So, I mean, he hasn't got everything going for him, but pretty much he's got it pretty much made in the shade if he just wants to go through his life and be something that can consume, can fulfill all of its own desires, and do what he wants to do. That would be one thing, but that's exactly what the Bible speaks of. And if you just want to dig into the book of Ephesians and find out the reality that in this condition that he's living like he's dead, this isn't the abundant life. This isn't the life that made it to where there's a sacrifice that can be made that makes it to where he's going to become something new, a new creation, that he's no longer going to be conformed to the ways that the world has taught him, but he's going to be renewed. He's going to become something new, renewed, by changing the way he thinks. And it's not just the way he thinks about things around him. It's how he's going to be able to see himself. Because independent of me, he's able to do the things that he's doing. But because he needs to become one with me, it takes a level of trust and permission from him that all I can do is ask him if I can, which would it be okay if I got on? And just so you know, this is a 2-year-old. Okay, so he's old enough for this. He's just a small horse, and he's always going to be a small horse. So he's not a baby. So you noticed him yawning at the beginning. He wasn't yawning because he was tired. There was a level of peace coming over him that he probably hasn't ever experienced before. And so there is a world that everything that we can see is temporary, but there's a world that we can't see that is eternal. And some of you might think that this is just hyper-spiritualizing it. It's not. There's no way to over-spiritualize what it is that Holy Spirit's doing in a room where he's making it to where people feel safe enough that what might have been really difficult in a different season of your life, today it's going to be very simple. that this is a brand new invitation to do something that you've never done and to be so surrendered to a power that you don't even fully understand. He's like, wait a minute, my feet are stuck. Both ears, he's very, very attentive to me right now. So he's not passive right now. If you watch, even his right ear is kind of creeping forward, wanting to make sure y'all are still there. He's showing me where he's looking with his ears and where his attention is. Because this is not, you're not supposed to be on my back. And for some reason, I'm okay with you on my back, but I'm not sure why I'm okay with you on my back. So I'll stand here and pretend like we're okay. But if we move, it'll become real. Yep, he's actually still sitting on me. It's so fun for me because notice the ears are lopsided now. So I just got enough confidence that, okay, those pretty people up there in blue, they're still making those fun sounds, licking his lips just a little bit, saying that, okay, we're good. My feet feel like they're stuck in cement. Oh, there we go. Oh. How sweet it is to be like a child and to trust and to be given permission to just take some steps and feel like I want to come here again because he can't see me the same way when I'm back there. I want to be in front of him so I can have both his eyes again. Yeah, I'm not going to hurt you. Thank you for trusting me. Both eyes locked on. Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching us, giving us brand new vision, eyes to see and ears to hear. Fill us with your word. Reveal things to us to make it to where we can become whole people. Thank you for giving us a physical representation of what it is that you're doing in the spiritual realm. That we're not orphans that have to walk around figuring this out on our own. That you become one with us and make it to where we can see again. And we'll know what to do next. Even in the midst of the struggles and the insecurities, the fears and the unknowns. That you're this ever-present one.
Follow you.
take me deeper. Take me deeper.
So good. The confidence that's already being built so quickly with him. Like, this is just pure courage. Because there is no experience. There's nothing that he can compare this to. It's just that because of the trust that he's put in me. What if someone would have come at him in a different way? And this is the tragedy of the reality that we're sitting in a room here. There was a bunch of people. When your story, those that were in authority over you, they didn't teach you like this. They weren't modeling leadership the way Jesus modeled it. My own story is just riddled with ways that I've just misstewarded people because of my aggressive ways and using intimidation or fear or just trying to overpower something. Even as small as he is, I couldn't overpower him. But I'm smart enough that I could figure out tricks, and I know tricks, to where I could have punished him and beat him and make him stand still. And even as kind as he was, it's unbelievable how aggressive people will be to try to get their point across. And it's unnecessary. Because if we're going to be the ones that are stewarding this kingdom of heaven, and our king is one that they said was the Prince of Peace, and he sent us with to be filled with his spirit, that's a counselor and one that's filled with wisdom, then we can come at things with absolute authority. I know that I have authority over this animal. Actually, it was given to me by God that I've been given dominion over this animal. And I can use that dominion to abuse him, to use him, to manipulate him, to make him into my workhorse. I could do that with my dominion. And unfortunately, we can do that with each other. We can do it with our kids. But does it actually get you what you want? Because we were created to have deep levels of connection with each other. And the connection can only come if there's a safe place. And it's where the miracles happen. And it's why instead of him resisting and fighting and trying to get away, he's really just saying, what's next? Thank you.
this life I live is not my own. And eternity with you will be my home. But until the day I bow before your throne, will take me deeper. Yes, I know this life I live is not my own. I lay it down in eternity. Follow you, oh, oh, oh. Take me deeper.
What I'm doing when I'm turning him, he's actually focusing with one eye on me, and it's freeing him up to where when we go straight again, he's going to have a lot more confidence in it. So the circle's not on accident. The circle's on purpose. And you can call it the circle of life, but I just think that it's beautiful that God made things in circles and rhythms and made it to where there's a season for everything. It's supposedly springtime in Idaho, and we got 3 inches of snow at the house last night. And two babies on the ground, or two baby horses on the ground. That would have been horrible. Horses. It's problematic. But the reason why it is that we just recognize that there's night and there's day, that we have these new beginnings. And there was a lot of celebrations that God gave us that would mark these celebrations of, or the reality that we get to go through these new beginnings and we remember things as we're going around. Because the fact that he can look at me through one eye and not be able to see me with the other is just a different level of trust. And he's doing it because he's doing it over and over and over again. I think that this walk of faith that we're all on, that we're on this journey of discovery, and we wouldn't have to come together like this. We wouldn't have to continue to press into what God's word says. We wouldn't have to, on a daily basis, represent ourselves to the Lord. We would do, and this is a little bit hard for some of you, if you don't like dying, the Christian life is going to be really hard for you, because Paul says that you have to die daily. So that's way too frequent if you don't like doing it. But if this is what dying looks like, which is actually what it's like, it's so life-giving. It's that if you will lay your life down, you'll be raised up. If you want to be among the greatest, make yourself the least. And this upside-down kingdom that we love to celebrate and talk about, it's what it is that he's demonstrating today. That his willingness to say yes to something that he doesn't fully understand, just because he realizes that he's finally found himself in a place where he's safe. And saying yes to me, this is a good exchange for him. He's seen that he's only giving up a life of living like day to day, eat, drink, and be merry, but there's no purpose in it. That there's something inside of him, and it's like, it's described, a lot of people say, like there's a hole within us that can only be filled by God. It's the same way with this horse. He already knows that there's something missing without me. He's been convinced that there's something different that happens inside of him when he's with me. And then when I become one with him, when we are walking together, that there's a different power, there's a different authority. It's awkward right now because it's so brand new, but he's realizing that this is what he's been waiting for. He's been waiting for this moment. It's shocking to me that people think that horses are better off left alone. It's a mentality that makes it to where I think in this, the culture that we're in, is that people feel like if I can do what I want to do, then I'm free. And we're finding ourselves just spun out, like we can't even get our wits about us, because our flesh will never say enough. We'll always want more. And it doesn't matter what it is that you crave or what it is that you lust or whatever it is that you're looking to get the peace and the joy that you're looking for, there's never enough. And it's tragic because we can run and be free and have all this privilege and all this opportunity and run right past the thing that we were created for. And Jesus, the rabbi, that walked around with his disciples and he demonstrated to them what it looks like to be a whole man. He did it with absolute authority. He wasn't insecure or timid, but there was a kindness about it to make it where everybody would want to come to him. The only people that had a problem with him were the religious people. And that's because he was a threat to their system, that they weren't going to be able to continue to abuse people and shame people into being obedient people. He didn't come to make it to where bad people would become good people. He came to make it to where dead people would become alive people. And if you don't see yourself as dead, separated from God, it's going to be really difficult for you to enjoy what it's like to be alive in him. Thank you. And this guy's making my job so easy that it was like the word over this weekend is, what would happen if there was actually some Holy Spirit revival that would fall upon this place, and that this one home, I'm going to quit calling it a house because houses are where people live. Homes are where families live. And there's something about being a family that has a father that's perfect. And this celebration of today and being here together of one accord and giving Holy Spirit permission to teach us, what is it that he's actually saying about you? And why is it that we can look in a mirror according to Scripture, and in the mirror we can actually see the glory of God? Why is it that God, Holy One, knowing that we in ourselves are broken, and every one of us could point to areas of our life that we're just like, we're getting whooped in. We want victory in it. We want to be better. Anybody here want to be a better version of themselves besides me? Like, that's why we're here. We're becoming healed, whole people. And if that's what it is that we've been invited into, where did it become so complicated? Brian encouraged me, man, this horse just gave me time to do this. So when I was a kid, and I won't go much into it, but I grew up in a really small town, and there was a predominant religion that I wasn't a part of, and it made it to where, for other reasons than the fact that I wasn't a part of the religion, I just didn't, I was bullied and found refuge in animals, in old people. I would ride my horse, her name was Sugar, and I'd take her and ride her to, there was a couple old women that didn't have husbands, and I'd go sit with them and they'd tell me stories, and I'm like, I look back on that boy and I'm thinking, why was he so comfortable with horses and critters and old people? It's like I found a safe place, and I'm really, really grateful for it, because it developed this thing inside of me that gives me so much compassion for all of creation, especially people. And this horse that I had, we would spend so much time together that I didn't have to have anything on her. And this could get ugly. But this is a 2-year-old that's never been ridden, y'all. So don't clap. I did this the other day for the first time since I was probably 10 years old. Ooh. I'd lay on her like this, and I'd just fall asleep, and she'd fall asleep, And when she'd fall asleep, she'd start tipping over. So it's given me a lot of permission to look at what is it that, because if I look at my whole story, this beautiful thing that God built in me to where I need to bring my whole story together because I want to be a whole man. And you're sitting here today, what does this have to do with you? I think it has everything to do with you because every one of us have got these seasons of our life and we fragment ourselves. And there's freedom in this space, like there's a peace that's over you right now to where you can actually reckon with some of the things and you don't know how to feel love, but you're feeling it now. The tragic part of that story is that our family got in a position where we were gonna move, and we moved to me, it might as well have been Los Angeles, but it was just a town of about 50,000, but we lived in a mountain community, and I was moving to the big city. And in that transition, I had to figure out what I was gonna do because I was leaving all of my animals behind, all of the mountains that I could run in, the places that I knew how to feel safe. And so I had to become someone different. And it was a really mean, angry version of myself. And the tragic part of it is that it worked. It got me friends. And I figured out how to become popular and successful in sports. But what had to die for that to happen was this kindness and the gentleness and this love that I had for people and for animals and creation. My second year in college, someone told me about Jesus, and I didn't know what all was possible. All I knew was that I needed help, and I wanted to feel safe again. I wanted to feel what it's like to love people again. And even though I didn't have language for it, this is the healing power of Jesus, that he made it to where I was not only forgiven, but there was a brand new beginning that didn't just start at that day. It actually goes back to the day of my conception, that before I was even conceived, that there was an eternal plan and a purpose for my life. And there's power in this testimony that I'm speaking over you. It's the power of prophecy that God is speaking over your lives, saying that I'm not sure what you've given up hope on, but today, let it be as what is being presented to you, that there's nothing that can ever stand between you and the promise that God's got for you.
Walking dead, was breathing in new life.
I don't know if he felt like he was free before, but this is freedom. I want you to consider what it is that he's inherited. Because this beauty of the gospel is that we don't just get forgiven of our sins, we become sons and daughters that are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And because we're heirs of the kingdom of heaven, we get all the resources of heaven. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of these attributes of our King is what it is we inherit. And we get it for eternity. And I'm not exactly sure what things are like on the other side of the veil. All I know is that when I died, probably haven't told y'all, I died once. Actually, I've died a couple times. But the one time that I remember actually being outside of my body, all I know is that whatever's on the other side of this is it's beautiful. It's glorious. I don't have words for it because it's one of our five senses that we describe events with. I don't have a sense to describe to you this other side. And so I'm not telling stories I read about in a book. I've encountered heaven. I've encountered what it's like to be dead physically. This thing that we inherit, he's not limited by his own understanding. He's not limited by what it is that he can see and understand. That there's a promise that I speak over him, that I'm going to do things that are exceedingly abundantly above anything that he could hope, think, or imagine. There's no way for him to even come up with the things that he and I could do together. And all it took was him saying yes in a very non-dramatic way. But I don't know why it has to be so hard, because when Jesus walked up to somebody, all he said was, "Follow me." And there was a presence about him that made it to where people would walk away from their families and their livelihood and say, "I'm going to follow that one." And then he puts that presence within us and says, "Go get him, boys. Go get him, girls. Show the world what it's like to love." Because the entire world right now is upside down because they're trying to figure out what it is that's true. Truth isn't an intellect. Truth is a person. And it can only be found in Jesus. And when he pours his spirit into us, it's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And it seems counterintuitive, like our brains have a hard time reckoning with this reality that you're going to live forever. My wife hates it when I say this because she takes it quite literally, but nobody can kill me. I'm never going to die. And when you know that you're never going to die, yeah, thank you. I think everybody should just clap really good for a second. Let's see if he's actually got settled in here. Sorry, Brian. It's just, I can't help. If Holy Spirit's going to bring such a level of peace to where he's like, "Whatever, y'all, I'm carrying the Prince of Peace. I know who I am. I've found myself. I know how to be myself finally, because the one that is filling me and teaching me and leading me and guiding me and instructing me is the one that has all the answers. So all I know is that there's one step I get to take. And I've got the courage to do it because of the presence that's surrounding me." And there are people that have got to make a step tonight because you've seen too much. You've heard too much. This is not a religion. It's not a philosophy. It's not a psychology. It's not just a cultural thing. It's not, for God's sake, it's not a social media thing. It's not a trend. This is the truth, the eternal truth. To when Jesus said that I was the beginning and the end, that I was the author of life, and going to be the fulfiller of all promises. We've run out of reasons to run from this. That if this is the lifestyle that he's got for us, a life of healing and hope, and it doesn't, not all of us just seem to have it all figured out as well as this guy's displaying, But it's okay, because even if he did throw a fit, it's not going to change a thing. He's already said yes to me, so he's never going to get rid of me.
So just to be clear, come up here again, just because I can, I like to. This is unusual, right? Because it doesn't look like this horse has never been ridden before.
Right.
Right. But it is unusual.
Yeah, it looks, so I don't know how to, it's almost like I've been healed physically, like miraculously healed physically. And it's like, I don't care how much physical evidence I provide people, they just have a hard time believing it. So you're going to have to decide whether you can trust me or not. This horse has never been ridden. This horse has no reason to let anybody ride it right now. This takes a process. You go through, even with a horse like him, you'd give him days to learn how to do what it is that he's doing right now. But why it happened in a moment is because of something else. And that's what you get to decide what you've got faith in.
And I think the link for me that you spelled out for me, which was so empowering, was that, you know, we think a horse that's broken or saddled or is in captivity is living not their best life. Their best life would be out and about doing, you know, just running free and everything. But that's actually not true. Give us the stats again.
Well, one man on a horse can rule an entire herd. So a horse that's actually yielded to a partner becomes significantly more powerful than an entire herd would be. And that one horse that could pull 2,000 pounds, two horses can pull 6,000 pounds. The math doesn't add up. There's something exponential, and there's something that makes it to where them partnered with man and them partnering with each other makes it to where we're a kingdom that's unstoppable.
All right. So the illustration here for all of us is you may think that the best thing for you is to live your life and wait for maybe God sometime in the future. You might think the best thing for you is to kind of say a prayer, let Jesus in your life, and that just gives you forgiveness so you can do whatever you want and you're not really gonna get serious about God. You're never gonna show up at church in a special thing or when a horse is there, or a Christmas and Easter service. And you may think you're getting over on the system. You may think that you're actually doing yourself a favor. You're opening up your options. You're giving yourself more freedom. You're not coming under the bondage of having to follow Jesus. You need to understand, you are not as strong as you could be if you gave your life to Christ.
Yeah.
You need to understand, you are not as free as you could be if you gave your life to Christ. You don't understand, you think you're cheating the system. The system has cheated you. Until somebody gives their life to Christ, allows Christ to be Lord on them, rule their life, you do not have the capacities you could have otherwise. You don't have the same power. You don't have the same longevity. That's the shtick of the whole thing. That's it in a nutshell. And so maybe tonight, some of you came in here and maybe, you know, maybe you became a Christian at some day, or maybe you just kind of go to religious events is good for you, and maybe when, oh, you mean that's what could happen? A loving God who would love me and actually lead me and actually give me more potency and unlock me for who he's created me to be? That's what it is. Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. So we're going to have people up front at all of our sites. They're all prayer people. They are ninjas in prayer. They do it all the time, and they are qualified to interact with you. Maybe you want to come up to one of them and you want to say, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus right now. I want him to ride me right now. And now I'll be happy to pray with you. Maybe you've got some pain. Like when Sarah starts talking about humans letting him down, maybe you got something deep inside of you. Maybe there's spots on this horse that are sensitive to touch. And there's things about your past or what you're dealing with right now that's really difficult for you. Those folks are queued up and would love to pray for you. And what do you know? There is an X factor of the Spirit of God, and something might actually happen for you if you'll come forward and pray. Get prayer, rather. Anything else, Todd?
Man, I'm a guest here, and I love the fact that you've trusted me for 4 years to come and share with your family. And there's an urgency, I guess, I have about me tonight. that some of you are going to walk out of this room and your marriages aren't going to make it if something significant doesn't change, that there's something that now's your moment. And I know that it doesn't matter to me whether you come forward or not. I just need you to realize that you've waited this long. Let's not take anything for granted and walk away the same way we came in. And so that I would be just out of kindness, push you just enough to say, you got to do something before you leave here. And it might be just grab somebody next year or whoever you came with and decide, are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? And if you're not hearing him speaking over you, that he's highlighting every quality that you have about you. He's wanting to celebrate every aspect of yourself. He's wanting you to hear what you should have heard from an earthly father and feel safe enough and empowered enough that tonight's the night that you get to make that decision. And I know for Christians everywhere, I'm surrounded by him, and we're still wondering, what in the world is going on in me? Why am I not fixed yet? And we're just going to get rid of all shame, and we're going to learn how to forgive ourselves the same way that we're learning to be forgiven. Whatever it is, let's deal with it tonight in this home to where we don't leave here and get distracted again with the world. Just pause for a moment long enough. They're going to sing a song.
Yeah, why don't we all stand right now? Let's stand.
Yeah.
And let's sing to God. Let's let him hear our voice, okay? And this horse too. This horse has actually never heard a bunch of people sing. Let's give him something tonight.
To sing to this God who made us, the God who knows us, the God who's the provider of all good things, the source of good things. We'll sing. Anything that's good, it comes from you. Anything that's good, it comes from you. If all I have is just the breath you gave, I'm giving it to you. Oh, anything that's good, if it's good, it comes from you. We'll sing it again. Sing anything that's good, if it's good, it comes from you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, anything that's good, if it's good, it comes from you. If all I
All right, we'll be here in whatever site you're in as long as you are here. I want you to take advantage of it. Push yourself a little bit. This horse got pushed. Push yourself a little bit. Have somebody pray for you. God might just do something. We'll see you next week.